Welcome to the Beautifully Free podcast. I am your host, Bonnie Lee Cuevas. I am an author and a healer, and I am igniting women's fierce self-love and wild freedom through holistic and metaphysical healing. Stay tuned for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in to the Beautifully Free podcast. This is Bonnie Lee Cuevas, your host, and I'm joined by our guest today, Crystal Langan. And she is a speaker, writer, coach, and founder of Sovereign Beauty. Hi, Crystal. How are you? Did I say your last name correctly?
Yes, Crystal Langan. I'm wonderful.
Wonderful. Yay. I'm so glad to have you here. I just, you know, we've been connected on social media for quite some time. And as a lot of my guests, I tend to stalk you guys on Facebook. And I saw, I loved your energy, and I loved everything you're about, and I just had to have you on the show. So my first question for you today is that I've seen you say that at its core, self-care is about holding space for yourself. Can you talk a little bit about that and for our listeners so they know, you know, at the very root of self-care, what is that?
Yeah, thank you. That's an amazing question. So self-care is about holding space for yourself. It's really about nurturing that connection you have to that deeper part of yourself. You know, that special, special place deep, deep within you, the heart of your heart, you know, the soul of your soul. And nurturing that relationship to get you to connect with that place more and more and easier and easier. And so, you know, you really have to figure out what self-care practices are for you, whether it's taking a bath. Something that I like to do is spend time with myself in the mirror. You know, it's kind of trippy to look at yourself in the mirror for a long period of time, and it brings up feelings and sometimes uncomfortable feelings, sometimes exciting feelings. And so just practicing that self, that connection with self, and seeing how far you can go further and further each time, how much further you can meet yourself at that edge, right? And just like really nurturing yourself in that space. If you're thinking about your best friend, right? She's having a crisis or she needs something, and you're just sitting there being with her. You're really leaning in as she's speaking. So practicing leaning into yourself, you know, that's what I think about when I think about self-care's core.
It's beautiful because it's nourishment, you know, for your soul. It's nourishment. How, you know, you spoke how when looking in the mirrors for some people, it brings up feelings. Can you tell us a little bit about what types of feelings that brings up and maybe why we as women feel that?
I had to be really intentional with my mirror time when I first started. And I actually had to sit on the floor in front of the mirror because it did feel very intense, and I would sometimes spend time crying. And I think that we look in the mirror to kind of go through the motions a lot of times, you know, just make sure our hair looks good or, you know, whatever we're doing. But we're not doing like intentional mirror work where we're really looking at ourselves. And I was scared of looking at kind of like the back part of my back, like that crease kind of in the on your back, you know, that fold, kind of near your waist. I was scared of that area for a long time. And then eventually I looked at it and I was like, actually, first of all, it's not that bad. And second of all, it's actually really sexy and cute and beautiful. Like, that's a beautiful spot. And I realized, oh, I have this story in my head of what that space looks like on my body. And I need to honor that. And another thing is, one of my mentors had me do this dancing ritual where I closed my eyes and I danced. And then I just started speaking to myself from that place. And I started saying things that I never thought I would say. I said, oh, I love the back of my arms. And I heard myself say that, and I'm like, what? You know, most women have a problem with that area, right? But what I realized was I was tapping into like that deeper level of consciousness, and I was telling myself things that I needed to hear. You know, maybe I didn't really believe in that moment that I loved that part of myself, but that's what needed to be said. So when you spend time at that edge, either dancing or in the mirror with yourself, certain things start to come out, right? You're kind of like free falling and surrendering into this like edgy place, and then edgy things start to come out. And so I just got really curious, why would I say that? Oh, I said that because that's what it needed. That's what that place in my body really was lacking. So yeah.
I love that because it's a complete abandonment of what we have in our head, you know, and then surrendering to who you are and all of these parts of yourself that you're like, okay, this isn't that bad, or okay, let's have this really important conversation with yourself. And I get such a gift by having all of these incredible guests like you here on the show, because there are techniques that I learned myself where I'm like, oh my gosh, I never even thought about that. And I get to implement that into my self-growth and, you know, my self-care journey. And, you know, it's important to keep pouring into ourselves. So thank you for that. And I'm really excited to definitely add that. And I feel like this week I definitely need that right now. And diving deeper into self-care, you posted back in October on Facebook a diary entry that was really great. You said how you had three sick kids, and it was a running commentary on your day, you know, the post thus far. And you said that when we have kids, we often put our kids first and we end up suffering the consequences. And in your post, you mentioned doing a 30-second ritual. So this is, was this the same ritual we just discussed now, or was it something different? And I love how you touch on, because I say this a lot, that I can't take care of my son and the people around me if I'm not taking care of myself first. So I guess my question is, would love to know more about that ritual and why you also think that when we put our kids first, we end up suffering the consequences.
Yeah. I love simple rituals. Things that I can do over and over again several times a day, or just fit into the nooks and crannies. And I have kind of two types of rituals. One type would be like the kind where, you know, I'm struggling, right? And I need to cut through that energy. I need something like a reboot, right? And I just need something to kind of just redirect my attention and snap me out of it, a pick me up or something. And then the other kind I have are to kind of like enhance what I'm already doing, to just boot an extra layer of what I'm already doing. So the 30-second ritual that I often do that is a layering type of ritual is what I call my adornment practices. And so, okay, that was my daughter.
Oh, no worries.
So she's always part of everything. So
we love to have her there in the background.
Well, speaking of, and she's going to come up in a minute, because so my adornment rituals, right? So most people go through the motions of putting on their jewelry, right? You slap on your earrings, slap on your bracelet, or whatever you're going to be putting on. I'm a huge fan of earrings. But for me, what I do, and it only takes a couple seconds more, and once you get into the rhythm of it, it just becomes automatic. But instead of just putting on one earring and putting on the other earring, what I do is I stop, I ground myself into the ground. You know, I might take a deep breath, kind of like awaken a couple more of my senses, get in touch with some more of my senses, you know, my sense of smell or feeling or seeing or whatever. And as I'm putting in one earring, I'm saying a mantra to myself. And then as I'm putting in the other earring, I'm saying a different mantra to myself. And I've gone through different ones. And what I would suggest is to try, you know, maybe for 2 weeks, one that feels good to you. And then maybe tweak it after 2 weeks. But I often say, I will listen for what I need to hear. Right? And so I'm just taking that extra moment, or I'm hearing what she needs to tell me. So I'm looking for opportunities to listen to women deeper. I'm looking for opportunities to listen to myself deeper, right? So I'm just taking, you know, I'm already putting my earrings on. It probably doesn't really add more than a couple of seconds, but it just activates me. And now that I've been doing that for years, as I'm walking up to my earrings, as I know that I'm going to be putting my earrings on, I'm already feeling activated. I'm already feeling grounded. I'm already feeling, you know, more alive and in touch with all of these other senses, right? And so it's just, it's already, it's like Pavlov's dog, right? I'm already salivating as I'm approaching my earrings. I'm so excited to put them in. So that's the layering in, and then the cutting the moment kind of ritual where I just need a pick me up or just a redirect. For that, what I suggest is, and I'll just tell you what one of my go-to 30-second ones is using rose oil. Using rose oil, and I do a little ritual. But what I do is I'm really intentional about it. I have my rose oil, and it's on a pedestal in a specific spot, you know, in my house. So it's in my awareness. It's available. It's like, you know, it's so accessible to me, and I see it, right? It's not hidden away in a drawer or anything like that. It's out. And it's on that pedestal, and it's special, right? And so when I need something like that, I just go over, I take a dab of the oil, and I put it right under my jaw, from one side of my jaw to the other. And I do it slowly, and I close my eyes, and I say, I love you. And I pause. And then I take it, and I put it between my eyes, between my eyebrows, and I slowly go down to the tip of my nose, and I take a deep breath right at the tip of my nose, and I say, I love her. And that's what I'm doing right now. But again, I've gone through different mantras of what I'm saying, what needs attention at that time in my life. So those are two just little examples.
They're so beautiful because it's pouring into yourself and it's gifting you all of those things that we truly deeply need to hear and remind ourselves of. You know, it's again going back to that nourishment. You're nourishing your soul, you're nourishing your body, and these rituals become really good habits that you gift yourself every day. So again, you know, putting yourself first, and when you're filling yourself up, like you're saying, you're very equipped to take care of, you know, three sick kids and family and everything going around you. And it's such a really important reminder for us.
Yes, it is. And I have, you know, my daughter, she's three, and she often interrupts, which is fine, you know, normal. And what I do is I include her. So she knows about these rituals and she asks for them, which is really fun because, why not? I mean, a little three-year-old coming up and saying, Mommy, let's do our rituals. I'm like, yes, it is the time, you know? And we have like three or four that we do, you know, at the same time because they're so short. So we just, you know, do them together. Mm-hmm. And with my sons, one of the rituals that we do most evenings is massage. And I've taught them to do self-massage. And so that's kind of a longer ritual, right? But I'm teaching my kids about self-massage and connecting with themselves. And, you know, sometimes I'll massage them and they'll also massage themselves. Sometimes they just want me to massage. Sometimes they want to do it all on their own. And it becomes a really fun way to connect with each other and a way for them to connect with themselves. Yeah, so including the kids.
It's and what you're giving them, you know, and for as they grow, you know, into these beautiful young people, these are the gifts, again, that they're constantly tapping into, and it gives them a really strong foundation, especially because the teenage years get hard. I have a teenager, and let me tell you, you know, no matter how much work we've poured into giving them the absolute best life, you know, they're teenagers, and they have all these things going on. So these are things that will help your children stand strong on their foundation. What a gift as a mom that you're giving them. And it's transformational. And as I talk about transformation, I know that you've also said that transformation can be a solo journey, but there are also times when the presence of another soul there to witness you, hold you, and guide you is exactly what is needed. I'd love to hear more about this. How do you know when it should be a solo journey or not? Or how should women seek out and ask for the presence of that other soul when it's needed?
I think that's a beautiful question, and I'm still, you know, exploring what that is, because for me, you know, I'm writing what I'm living, and so for me to reflect on it and figure out how do I communicate this, what I'm doing kind of intuitively, others is, I love exploring that and seeing where I'm at in my thought process with all of that. But what I've been thinking about is, you know, my husband and I was kind of specifically thinking about when I had major surgery and I had a near-death experience, and he really helped me through that. But I was kind of backtracking before that, and I was thinking about when our relationship first started and where we were at when that all started, and what I credit a lot of our, you know, long-term relationship and connection to is that we both started from a solid space. We were both in a place where we were happy, where we felt strong and independent on our own. We had both really worked on our own self individually. You know, I was doing a lot of work on myself. I was happy with who I was and confident, and I didn't need, I didn't feel like I needed a relationship or anything like that. And that's what attracted me to him. And it was interesting because before that, often I would go after guys that were, shy, and then I would help them come out of their shell. And then I could feel like I was like their hero, and I was like teaching them and all of this. Yeah. And I was like, so I was fixing them up. Right. And, with my husband now, he was strong on his own, and I was attracted to that strength, and I was almost feeling like I deserved to be with someone who was that, you know, grounded and confident on his own. And so we built our relationship from that place, and we built our intimacy from that place, from consistently showing up for ourselves. And then once we, you know, fell in love and got connected and intimate in that way, and then I went through this experience where I really needed to lean on him and his support and guidance through that, I was able to really surrender again to that connection with that with him, with that person. And I think this is great for relationships and friendships too. You know, coming into a friendship where you're feeling really solid in who you are. So I think that's what I was getting at with that post, and talking about, you know, when do you know when the guidance of another soul can be there to help you. I think that's where I was going with that.
And I love that, you know, and as you talk about your husband a little bit more, you've been with your husband, Ben, correct? Is his name? For close to 20 years. And a lot of our listeners are single women that are going through this healing journey so that, you know, they get to a place, like you said, where you felt completely whole, that you were happy on your own. You were two wholes coming together. And I've always said that for me in my mind, I've always fallen in love with the potential who someone should be versus who they really are. And when you come together, when you're whole and you meet another whole person, you come together to sort of form this Venn diagram, you know, where you're sort of overlapping two complete wholes. And I feel like that's you and your husband, Ben. You know, you said, you know, because again, I Facebook stalk you. You once said that as I fall in love with being more me, I fall in love with my husband even more. We fall in love with each other even more. It's such a beautiful statement. And for me, who I hope to meet a partner one day, you know, that's such hope for me that, yes, it's out there. You know, once I reach that place of wholeness in myself, for women who struggle with falling in love with being themselves, what would you suggest they do? And how do they get to that place of wholeness, you know? And so that way, when they do meet someone, you know, they're not bringing in their baggage, you know, that's already been taken care of.
Yeah. I think it's important to be in the energy of getting to know yourself over and over again. You're never going to be a done project, right? So you're constantly knowing yourself and knowing yourself and knowing yourself. And, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about date night, right? When you're married, you don't forget about date night. You got to still date each other. Well, I also think that you should always be dating yourself, you know, date your husband still, but also date yourself. You know, have you ever put on amazing earrings and done a sexy dance for yourself in the mirror?
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
I agree.
You know, like I said, for massage, self-massage, you know, just touching your arm and massaging it with some oil, right? Dancing with yourself, you know, all the things that you would do when you're single and getting to know yourself, continue to do when you're in a relationship with someone else too.
Yeah, because you don't, you know, we forget that we sort of fall into the routine. You know, I was married for over a decade to my son's father, and thankfully we have a really beautiful relationship. You know, him and his wife are just really great people, and I actually admire their relationship very much too, because I see them and I'm like, oh, you're so perfect together. But it's because they both, like you said, you know, his wife and a lot of women that I see in these really incredible relationships continue to date themselves, continue to pour into themselves, continue to, you know, gift themselves that thing. It reminds me of a movie I once saw where she went to buy herself a piece of lingerie and she's like, no, I don't need it. And her friend was like, no, buy it for yourself. Why not buy it for yourself and continue to do that? You know, and it's all really transformational. And I know that you've mentioned that we should go out and experience others, get outside of our regular routine and circle of influence. Why do you think that's important? And how do you suggest someone that, you know, is kind of shy or maybe doesn't want to go do that, but how do you step out and be brave and really step outside of that, your regular routine?
Yeah, this is a big question that I feel like could have its own, you know, lecture. What I was thinking about and reflecting on was how diversity really is the key to humanity's survival. It is the key, really. We cannot survive without diversity as a species. Just thinking about the gene pool, right?
And
I had watched a documentary that really opened my eyes quite a bit to the science behind this, but it was a documentary, I want to say, about Australia and how the continent thrived and survived right? This island continent. And the way that they did it is they had these networks, human species had these networks where the tribes would come together and meet and intermingle and then create diversity in their gene pools. And this is how they would survive, just from a basic, just like stripped down science level, right? And so that just made so much sense to me. It just, my mind was blown. And I'm like, yeah, like that goes from that point all the way to social diversity and, all of that, right? And so it's like, it just clicked for me in that moment of diversity just being so super important. And I feel you have to be intentional with it. You have to be intentional with it. I mean, I live in a town where it's not easy to have diversity in my town. I have to go out and I have to seek it, right? And I can't just talk to my kids about diversity. I have to show them and model them and just be really intentional with them about it. So one area of diversity, I've looked at a lot of different areas and worked with a lot of different areas to see how I can bring more diversity in my life. But one area that I'm focusing on for 2019 is actually multi-generational diversity. I am trying to be really intentional with interacting with people that are much older and much younger, and seeing, especially women, because I run a lot of women's groups.
Yes.
But seeing how can I be really intentional about bringing older women into my circles? And so I have set that intention, and the action that I'm taking is I'm having a tea party the beginning of the year, and it's a multi-generational tea party, and where I'm asking women to specifically invite someone who's older, an older generation or a younger generation.
It creates these, it's so meaningful because it rounds you out, that diversity, it fills you up even more, and it gives you tap into wisdom and lessons you never even knew that you could tap into. And as I say that, you and I share, my grandmother is such a very important part of my life, and she's such a gift. My grandmother, I can literally tell her anything, and she's just a soul that has no judgment, and she's this such a loving, compassionate person. And I was raised by the women in my families, and my grandmother is just an important part of that. And first, before I ask this question, thank you so much for, being vulnerable and sharing this with us. And, I just feel like it's an important question for people to hear, and, your answer. I know that your grandmother passed away recently, and you shared some lessons that you learned from her. One lesson was that it's okay to be strong and opinionated, and a woman that knows what she wants. And it's a great lesson because a lot of women struggle with that. What's one piece of advice you would give to a woman struggling with this, or to help her be that strong, opinionated woman that your grandmother taught you to be?
I love how your grandmother sounds too. She sounds wonderful. and it's such a wonderful relationship to have for those of us that experience that. It seems what I saw from my grandmother is that she actually grew up with a father who was very strict and dominating. And she told me that she decided that when she grew up and got married, she was not going to have that as part of her life with her husband or anyone. Nobody was going to tell her what to do anymore, right? She just had that rebellious or that need, to be free. And so what I think she taught me is to take life seriously, to really take life seriously. This is your chance. Do the thing, right? Say mm-hmm. what you want to say. Say what you want out loud, like right now. Just do it now. Do the thing now. And do it again and again. And if you ask, if you want something, say you want, you know, a raise at work, or you want a project at work, or you have a goal, right? And I even see my husband doing this. He's going in every week with his meeting with his boss and saying, I have this goal, and what do I need to do? And what is the thing I need to do? And he's asking again and again. And some women might feel like that's nagging, right? If you're being too bold, you're nagging, right? But it's about the energy that's behind it. It's about the energy that's behind it. Don't go in feeling that you're nagging. Don't go in nagging. You're just asking for what you want, and you're just speaking your mind, and you're getting clarity on what needs to be done to get you to that next level. Be bold and strong. Be confident. And again, take life seriously. And what I saw at the funeral, because, you know, my grandmother being strong and outgoing and bold and social and all of those things, sometimes I would wonder how her friends would react to that, how her community would react to that, right? And mm-hmm. seeing her friends at the funeral, a lot of them, most of them were also strong, bold, confident, just so much fun to be around, had so many things to say, and I just loved it. And so I saw that she attracted those type of women, right, in her community, and they all had wonderful things to say about her. They all knew her. You know, she wasn't hiding who she was. She was living out loud. And so people got to actually know her and who she was and be inspired by her. So that was a really fun part of the funeral, was meeting and interacting with all of these fantastic ladies.
That's such a blessing, you know, to see mm-hmm. who your grandmother surrounded herself with, and that energy and that power and that freedom in mm-hmm. connecting with women that know themselves and what they want and, you know, have never settled for less than that. As, you know, we come to a close, what are three things that you can leave our listeners with that, you know, were monumental for you in your journey to healing and growth and just being at a place where you're standing strong?
Wow. I would say don't settle. Don't settle. There were times Definitely. When I was dating. Yeah. And if it wasn't working, I wasn't settling. And I was just like, next.
Yes.
So don't settle. And make it known. Make it known what you want. Make it known what you want. Mm-hmm. In a previous relationship, that was a great relationship I had. I told him what I wanted, and he was in a relationship, and he's like, that's not possible. And I was like, okay, not possible for you, mm-hmm. But I'm making it known. And guess what? In the end, I got exactly what I wanted. So not settling, making it known what your wants are. And, the third thing, what would it be? Holding space for yourself. Really practicing that holding up space for yourself, and what that means for you specifically. What activates you? What turns on more senses? You know, what makes you feel more alive? Visit that place often. Visit it often, and practice visiting it, so that you can get to that space of connection with yourself quicker and quicker.
Thank you so much. It was such a blessing to have you on the show today. And I just feel so full after our conversation. And I know that every woman listening will feel the same way. Well, how can they find you on social media, online? How do they connect with you?
Yes. So, you can look, you can friend me. I love Facebook friends. So I'm at Crystal Celeste Avila Langan. I put my whole name in there. Crystal Celeste Avila Langan. And I also have a Facebook group So you can find me there. That's Beauty Reclamation. Beauty Reclamation. And it's the same on Instagram. And then my website. I've got a website too. It's crystallangan.com. And that's where I post all of my blogs, my blog posts and videos and things. Yeah.
Thank you so much again for being a guest. It was such a joy. And I'm just wishing you a wonderful new year. I can't believe we're almost there.
I know. I can't believe it. You're so easy and comfortable and wonderful to speak with. So thank you for creating this space for me. I feel lost in time and space just talking to you, and by so fast.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's truly my pleasure.
Today's episode has been brought to you by... One Yoga Center is one of the leading yoga studios serving the greater Mercer County, New Jersey area, offering classes for everyone, a welcoming space to enlighten your body, mind, and spirit. One Yoga Center expands beyond yoga with a wide range of holistic options for you to choose from, including Reiki, massage therapy, energy, and Thai body work. One Yoga Center embodies founder Tracy Olshafer's ideology that all life is connected to one whole, one being the most complete word in the universe. Nothing seems more perfect than one. If you're not local, be sure to check out Tracy Olshafer's new book, The Accidental Yogini, now on Amazon.